Now, Tech Talk with Alan Perry on CFAX 1070.
Well, hello there. Welcome aboard our October 1st and 2nd edition of Tech Talk for 2022. Glad to be back with you. My thanks to Ron and Brian for doing such a great job filling in. I listened to the podcast on the plane on the way back. Brian, good. Thank you for having such a good time last time.
Yes, thanks. We enjoyed ourselves.
It was really great. And in studio helping me out as we begin a new month,
Gary Beyer from Tesseract 2.0 Computing.
Thanks for coming in on your weekend.
You know, I was actually looking forward to do this show. I really was.
Was?
Was? It,
yeah. Well, yeah. Now I'm here and I'm thinking I should be outside in the sunshine.
Oh. Yes. There is the big toy show going on, the big fall toy show at Perks Arena behind Tillicum Mall. So if you went, what? I didn't know that. Yeah, this is the biggie.
I might have to go there and see if they have any Minions.
Oh, I can't imagine. Gary and I both like Minions.
Oh, I've got almost a little museum of Minions in the store.
If you're a Minion fan, if you're downtown, stop in at Tesseract during the weekdays. It was one entire display case. That's nothing.
Two
now?
Yeah.
Go. Anyway, yeah, there's hundreds of tables there. This is the biggie at Perks Arena. So feel free to, it's on Saturday and Sunday. If you're listening to us on Saturday morning, October 1st, as we begin a new month, we are indeed live. If you're listening Sunday afternoon, the 2nd, that is a rebroadcast, and Brian will work his magic, and we will have a podcast available for you. Hi to everybody that I got to meet in Palm Springs, down there doing some workshops, teaching employees of companies down there how not to get the company shut down by ransomware, how not to get scammed, how not to have their identity stolen. I was actually a little surprised how unaware a lot of people were of avoiding scams and things. I thought that we were more unaware here, but no.
No. It's for some reason, if you head down south, technology is there, but because the Joe Public, I mean, chips on cards. When did they finally get this?
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just weird because we preach Apple Pay and Android Pay and doing all that, not using your actual card because then the merchant doesn't get your card number. Down there, they still want to take your card away from you in the restaurant and bring you back a piece of paper design.
Wow.
So I would get up and go to the machine with them and I would Stripe it. Yep. And I said to talk to a bunch of people, I said, you know that Stripe is going away on credit cards next year.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know it was going away next
year.
Oh, yeah.
Good. It's the only place it's used in the world is the United States. Nowhere else would they think of striping a card, because that's just a magnetic stripe. And if I stripe it through a reader, I've got the entire information. I make a fake card.
I wonder what the difference in numbers of credit card scams are in the States, other countries.
Yeah, it must be. Anyways, because there were a few places that had TAP, CVS, Walgreens, a couple supermarkets.
Mm-hmm.
I've never in my life drank so much liquids. Like, literally, buy a couple cases of sparkling flavored water every day.
The temperatures were all around the 40s there, right?
Yeah, we had heat warnings. It's supposed to cool down, but it hasn't yet. So, crack of dawn out there doing stuff. I put a couple pictures down at the bottom because I thought anybody that's going down to Palm Springs, I know there are many of you, my first time, it was really great to see little I got to see, but did get to Joshua Tree National Park. But the one that I thought many of you might really like, and it was a local who told me, so, Thousand Palms Oasis, out in the middle of the desert, on the edge of the Indio Hills, and you're driving, and it looks like a literal stereotypical oasis. So I did some homework before we went there, after he told me. And it's right on the San Andreas Fault, the one that's going to go, and you literally, where you park, it's like a little hump in the road, and you'd think there was a stream underneath, except it's the desert. No, that's where the ground on one side is about 10 feet higher than the other side. And so you're literally parking on top of the fault, and you walk down through, and it's part of the Coachella Valley Preserve.
Yep.
And the pressure of the plates coming together pushes up enough water to create an oasis with 1,000 palms. And there's a boardwalk, and you're walking through there.
Yeah, you sent me the pictures while you were down there.
Yeah, I had to torture you.
Sorry. Yeah, I know you did.
Yeah, this is beautiful.
Thanks, Alan.
I definitely encourage anyone to check out the pictures.
Yeah, we spent a couple hours there just wandering around. It's just peaceful. There's a few ducks and things, but there's water in the middle of the desert and these massive, massive palm trees. So, yeah, anyway, so if you're going, that's where that one. I did get to check out Joshua Tree National Park.
Nice.
It's just spectacular, but it was just getting too hot.
Yeah.
We went by noon. So back to the pool. So anyway, So lots of stuff to talk about. A couple things I thought I would mention off the top that I became the poster boy for this. As of today, October 1st, you no longer need to use the ArriveCan app to enter Canada.
Yay.
It's been scrapped along with vaccination proof requirements and random COVID testing. Coming back from Palm Springs to San Francisco, San Francisco, Vancouver. So masks are not a thing down there, but in the departure lounge, they said, okay, when you get on board the plane, you're going to all have to wear your masks for the duration of the flight. Mm-hmm. But they're lifting that in 2 days, and it's a big cheer goes up to the departure lounge. But before you delete the ArriveCan app, you can use it to quickly pre-clear customs at the Vancouver, Toronto, and Montreal airports, and later this year at other major airports. I used it on my return from Palm Springs on Thursday, and the time it saves wasn't a problem for me. I had an hour and a half connection. Mm-hmm. But if you are tight, especially if your plane coming in is late, it can enable you to make a connection that you won't otherwise make. So it's totally up to you. You don't have to do it. But yeah, it's really nice to be able to walk up to the kiosk and go beep, and it prints out the piece of paper, and off you go. So I put a screenshot in, item number 10 in the show notes, confirmation you get after submitting your info. And then it skips the customs part, gives you a receipt, and you're on your way. Now, make sure you have the latest version of the ArriveCan app before using it. If you have the older version, then it'll still think you need to do all the COVID stuff.
Right.
And that's one of those things, Brian, we put this in the show notes for before. There are a lot of new apps for iPhones or new versions because of iOS 16, and Apple has not made this simple on how to check for apps. So I'll get you to explain how to check Android apps for updates. But on an iPhone, you have to go to the App Store, and the upper right corner, there's an icon. If you've got a picture, it'll be your picture. If not, it's Head and Shoulders. You tap that and you get a pop-up in the middle of the screen. You pull down like a spring in the middle of the screen and let go. And then when you scroll up, it says how many apps are there to be updated. Now, Apple does update them, but nobody seems to know when.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's not on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. or something like that, does that? So I'm going to do that right now on my phone. So I go to the App Store app just to give you an idea. Because the new iOS is so powerful, there's a lot there. I have my little picture in the top right corner, and it brings a pop-up called Account. I pull down in the middle of the screen, and it says, lo and behold, I have 19. Now, I did this 2 days ago. There are 19 more updates, and I just tap the button to do Update All. How about on an Android phone? It's not as simple.
It actually is very similar.
Is it consistent across all the different versions?
That's always the thing that's hard to answer. I don't have experience with so many different devices, but if you do go to the Google Play Store and you tap your profile in the top right corner, you can tap Manage Apps and Device.
Yeah.
And from there, you'll be able to see ones that have labels with Update available.
And then you just tap Update.
Yeah. Or you can go check manually the single apps.
Well, I've got the iPhone 13, and I just tried this, and only 5.
Okay. Mm.
Every day. It's not bad.
Yeah. So before traveling, that's really important, not just ArriveCan. You want to make sure you have the latest version of your airline app because that's the one that's going to give you. And they were saying that in the departure lounge for United, please make sure you have the latest version of the United app or you won't be able to watch the movies.
Right.
You know, I just slept. So that was good. So anyway, so a couple things left over. Well, I'll do one other app that follows that up. If you're heading to the USA, Customs and Border Protection has a free app which you can use to save a lot of time at the border going into the U.S. Again, especially valuable if you have a tight connection. It's called MPC, which stands for Mobile Passport Control, and it replaces the third-party Airside Mobile Passport app. The agency actually made their own. It can be used by Canadians and Americans.
Okay.
It's free. They'll offer you the trial of the paid version, which keeps your passport information on file for your next flight. But no, 99% of you, the free version's fine.
Right.
You have to do it within 24 hours of the actual crossing. But again, you get to use the kiosk and do the royal wave to all the people. My friend Rick that came down for the last couple of days of the trip so we could go explore, He did the milk run to use his points. Victoria, Vancouver, Portland, San Francisco, Palm Springs.
Oh, my goodness.
And he had a late flight, and the MPC app got him in to Portland and got him through, so he got his connection.
Oh, wow, that's unreal. So,
yeah, he said, tell flights. Everybody. Yeah. And he checked a bag, and they lost it. Well, I didn't lost, but he had AirTags. That's the thing I want to mention. I went and bought two extra AirTags, put them in my carry-on and in my backpack, which is, and it was so nice being able to see. And I told people about it. They said, well, why would you put it on your carry-on? It's like right there with you. It's not like it's on the plane. Well, on the last leg to Palm Springs, the plane is so tiny that they said, we will put it in the plane, so we'll just do airside check, and it'll be there.
Yep.
But it's still nice to know that the AirTag says you're it's with you.
Yes.
But two people had somebody take the wrong carry-on, because sometimes you end up sitting in 14B, and your carry-on is above 12A for space, and then somebody else grabs mistakenly the wrong carry-on.
Yep.
So they literally did an announcement, please, everybody, hold where you are. Somebody's got the wrong, the wrong carry-on.
Oh, cool.
And if you've got an AirTag, it's going to pop up in your phone and tell you your carry-on is being left behind. And you go, wait, I'm still sitting. Oh, my God.
Right. Stop. Like you get the notification that it's getting further away from you.
Yeah. But also for Rick's case, for his check luggage, he was able to tell them where his luggage was. It's in San Francisco.
Wow.
It's not like, where is my bag? It's not here.
You know where it is.
Yeah.
Oh, that's neat. That's a neat application. I haven't heard of many people doing that
yet. Excuse me. And it worked out well because they give him $150 travel credit.
Yep.
And,
you know, it's interesting. I had a customer come into the store Tuesday or Wednesday. He's got a Samsung phone. Samsung has a similar item.
Yes.
And he went to a store that also deals in phones and computers. And the salesperson there said, nah, you really don't need anything like that.
Yeah,
I had no words.
Yeah.
I actually told him, go back to that store and get them for your trip.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I have a client who has really, she's just had surgery that was not possible with the technology up until just recently. She has really wonky eyes, as she puts it, and they fixed it, did a wonderful job. But for a while, she's going to need a special prescription on her glasses, and it's $2,000 for the glasses. And she's almost lost them twice. Panic. So she's got a strap that goes around the back of her head on her glasses, and we put an AirTag on there.
Oh.
Because she was literally about to order another pair.
Yep.
And so now, she texted a couple weeks ago and said, I've misplaced them three times, but now I just tap my iPhone and it tells me right where they are.
Well,
AirTags are very hard to get. They're $35 for one, $130 for four.
Mm-hmm.
The only place that consistently seems to get them in small quantities is Simply Computing on the corner of Fort and Fowl Bay, technically on Cadbury Bay Road, but right across from the Savon Plaza there. So I went and got a couple more, and best thing I've done. So, strongly recommend that. You can, but that worked really well. A couple other follow-ups from last week that we'll cover after the break here. Questions about Lucky Mobile. And also, we have the answer on why your iPads are not updating to iPad OS 16. We'll tell you that. But we'd love to help you while Gary and Brian and I are here. Anything that's driving you crazy or questions about what to buy, what not to buy, how to make things work that were working up until yesterday, 250-386-1161 on a landline. Home phone, don't say landline anymore. Star 1070 on a mobile phone. Text to 1070-10-107010. Please include your name in the text. Emails go to techtalk, T-E-C-H-T-A-L-K, at cfax1070.com. Tech Talk as we begin the month of October 2022 with Alan and Brian and Gary. Text here, Alan, in the past you'd recommended the e-declaration app. Would this still be necessary if you have the updated ArriveCan app? E-declaration remains, Gary, because ArriveCan only works right now at three airports, Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal, although they're adding Calgary, Edmonton, Halifax, Ottawa later this year. Anywhere else where they don't have it, then you would have to use e-declaration. But no, you do not need e-declaration. It's actually faster to do it on the ArriveCan app. If you want to use e-declaration, you can if you really have a thing against the ArriveCan app because of its former use.
Yep.
Totally up to you, but you will find that ArriveCan will only give you the drop-down for the three.
Yeah.
Yeah, good question there. Patrick, my PC was in at Gary's Tesseract shop last week and took the opportunity to get Windows 11. Can you suggest a summary of advantages?
Biggest advantage is the under-the-hood security.
Yeah.
But the other advantage of Windows 11 is that on every new feature update now, there are going to be new toys added that you're going to be able to play with, be it video editing, photo editing, Microsoft is getting back to embedding so many toys with the operating system instead of having you have to buy those extra.
Yeah, and we say toys, but we mean useful new features. Yeah, yeah, they're really good.
The toys.
11 looks more like a Mac interface. So if you don't like change, I would hold off for now anyway, because Windows has begrudgingly admitted that they went too far with the redesign.
Yeah.
And so they have made about 3 increments of undoing things, or at least giving you the ability to undo.
Well, I've had a number of people, especially in the past 2 or 3 days, and you know one of them well, Rick, and I won't say last name, but they hate it. And because it looks like Mac.
Yes.
And because it's not like Windows 7 or Windows 10. But you know the incredible thing is, very much like the original Windows 1.1, it's all icon-driven still.
Yes, I'm personally not a fan of the layout because there are so many things that are hidden in an effort to be clean.
Yes.
One of the things when I was down there early on in the days, and I got tired of preaching this line, why did you hide that? Well, it's neater. And I said, okay, can I go in the bathroom and I'll hide the toilet paper? That will be neater. But that's something that I use all the time. I'd rather you didn't. Can you please, the start menu, you do not have as much control. You can't just move things right, left, up, and down. You can move something to the top. So I ended up, when I add a new app that I'm going to use, I move it to the top, and then I move the other 5 that got bumped down, I move them back to the top. So it takes me like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So it's very stable, very secure.
It
Gary's
is.
Right. It's very stable, very secure.
What you don't like about it, I do. It is clean. It is neat.
Yeah.
It's
too clean for
me.
Maybe
it's just the German in me.
Sorry, I was on the phone. I missed that.
Windows 11. I find it too clean.
Yes, yes. They've tried to streamline too many things, and it makes it harder, especially for people that are used to Windows 10.
Yeah. So
The biggest beef is the start menu.
Yep.
That is the biggest beef, and the taskbar. I want to be able to move my taskbar wherever I want.
Precisely. I want all the icons. I want to be in control of the icons that are down in the bottom right corner. Because if something new appears there, how did that get there?
Yep.
And Microsoft says, well, no, it's secure, so you don't need to worry.
Yep.
And so I suspect they will back down on those 2 later this year and give you more control. So that's why I'm recommending, if Windows 10 is working fine for you, stick with it. It's fully supported, including feature updates. We're waiting for 22H2 to come out. It's due out sometime this month. That'll be one. It's out for Windows 11, but not for 10.
Yep.
But Windows 10 is fully supported till October of 2025. There isn't really a compelling reason. Unless you're a business person and you're taking the laptop with the company secrets with you, then the security of Windows 11. You can nuke it remotely.
Yes.
But God forbid you forget that code. So,
don't forget that.
Really good question there. Okay, to the phones and Dawn. Hi, Dawn. Welcome to our first Tech Talk of October.
Hey, good morning, Alan. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Gary and Brian. Good to be here. So I had a few questions, and I'm not sure if it's location services. My dad's in the States, and I usually access his the medical stuff, and there's a website called Health Products. And let's say 6 months ago I could access it, and so now it doesn't allow me to go through, and it comes up with Safari cannot open the page because the server stopped responding.
No, that wouldn't be location services. Make sure they haven't changed the address.
Yeah.
For you, the way Life Labs did here in Canada in BC, Life Labs became My Care Compass.
Yep.
And I did that because I did talk to them on the phone. And here's another example. So I downloaded the bus app for Las Vegas.
Yes.
And so when I go in, and I've used it last year, so I know it works, it comes up as it's an unsupported link. Google can't open this link.
Okay, question for you. You said you're using Safari. How old is your Apple?
I have an iPad 6.
Yep.
And A11 Pro.
Yep. And so, but hold on. You said you went and downloaded the app, but then you said you got a Google can't open?
Yes.
Well, you're sure that wouldn't be on an app then. That would be a website.
Yeah.
I'd like on my phone, I did download the bus app.
Which app?
the RTC. It's the Las Vegas bus.
Okay. As a general rule, you don't need those on either Android or iPhone. You're going to get real-time information on both the Maps app on Apple and on Google Maps on Android. You don't really need a third-party app. Victoria is an exception. We're special. Dysfunction by the sea. You do need, Brian's smiling.
Don't get me
you
started.
Do need the transit app. In fact, you'll see the buses actually advertise it. It's a green,
yeah.
A green snake. You do need the transit app here for real-time information. Hopefully by this fall, when they get the new system coming, that will then coordinate. Because right now, the Apple and Google Maps tell you where bus 11 is supposed to be when it's coming, whereas their app actually tells you where it is. Oh, it's late. All the other cities, it just tells you automatically where the bus is. So I wouldn't worry about that one. But the health one is really important for your dad stuff. So go into your settings on your iPhone or your iPad. Go into privacy. I'm doing this in my head. Settings, privacy, and everyone else. If you're going to be going traveling or you've run into this issue that Dawn is, settings, privacy, location services, and make sure that it is allowed to do that, because some apps, not just transit, but other ones, even health ones, will be locked and they're not allowed to let you in if they don't know where you are. On an iPhone, the recommended setting on every app is while using, because it pops up and says, can we use your location, Brian? And they give you three choices. Once, while using, never. Occasionally, yes. They will ask for always. Weather would be one where you would probably say always.
Yep.
That way, if you move, it tells you that. But that's the one. So if you think of it, Shoppers Drug Mart, why would they want my... Well, now I can tell you where the nearest Shoppers Drug Mart is and whether the pharmacy's open till midnight. But the moment you go away from that app, no, you're not allowed to know my location.
Yeah.
That's the big deal on that one. So try that one, Dawn. Stay on the line. I'll talk to you off the air and see if we can sort through that health one. Stay with us. Yep, hold on. Got to take a break.
Tech Talk with Alan Perry on CFAX 1070.
As we roll on for October 1st and 2nd of 2022, Gary Byers in studio with us. Gary is the owner of Tesseract Computers, and Brian is here. Now he gets to just multitask instead of triple tasking the way you were with Ron.
Yes, and we get to eat a little bit of crow.
Well,
here.
There's a lot of stuff.
We have a couple corrections for last week.
Not correction, just update. So many of you, when Ron and Brian were talking about iOS 16 for your iPhones, are saying, why can't I get it on my iPad? What's wrong with it? And you guys were giving great advice on how to check that, but you just missed one little key thing there. iPad OS 16 hasn't been released yet.
Yes, this
is a good reason.
I believe this is the first time in a long time there's been a delay between the two.
That's right. Totally, they split them apart into two operating systems a couple years ago because they discovered with the bigger screen of an iPad, they could make a different version that would do things that an iPhone screen couldn't handle. Yep. And they released them at the same time. But iPad OS 16 includes a powerful new feature called Stage Manager that lets you have several apps open on the screen at the same time. And Apple engineers needed more time to get it working properly. As a result, iPad OS 16 is not expected to be released till sometime later this month.
They actually, they've actually said that it's going to release as 16.1.0, so that you've actually skipped the initial, you're getting the first minor update to it.
Yes, and so I put a link into the show notes. Item number 6, you can preview all the new features now, but you'll see that it says come later this month and I'll actually update. So see, we all both... So it says, as a result, iPad OS 16 is not expected to be released till sometime later this month, and it will be 16.1. There we go. Fix my typo. There we go. So that one's there. So that answers that one. The other one that was that I thought was worth mentioning there, if you've already upgraded your iPhone to iOS 16, please do check for an update to iOS 16.0.2, as you guys mentioned last week.
Yes.
That one, but it does fix the copy-paste permissions bug there. But the other thing on the other end of the scale, with the release of the iPhone 14 models, Apple has stopped supporting iPhones made more than 7 years ago. That means, and this is a biggie, no more security updates will be released for the iPhone 6S, the 7, and the original iPhone SE, not the 2020 or 2022 SE, the original SE. But that's a lot of people, Gary, with 6S and 7.
It is.
And it's that 7 years. The world has really moved on, and 16 is such a big update that it's just,
yeah,
it's mostly Band-Aid. That, and, you know, the operating system, you know, it's small, and then there's Band-Aid after Band-Aid after Band-Aid after Band-Aid. And, you know, they did it for 6 years, but seven is just pushing it too much. So please, if you have a 6S or a 7 or the original iPhone SE, you will find that apps like WhatsApp, OneDrive, and Skype, power-intensive apps,
yes, they are,
will start saying, you need an update. And when you tap the update, it basically says your phone can't handle the update.
That's right. You need a new phone.
Yeah. And so they will. Other apps will start to struggle as developers issue new versions, such as we were just talking about a few minutes ago. Did all yours update? Check mine, make sure my app's all updated.
Oh, I didn't hit update.
Oh, you didn't hit update?
No, I'll do that later.
Okay. Yep, mine all did. Oh, but it found two more, just while we've been on the show. Oh, God bless you. There you go. Anyway, so that's it. So please seriously think about replacing it with a newer model. It doesn't have to be new, Brian.
So one thing, this is too bad because we just set a friend up with an iPhone 7 for their dad who's in care, and he just uses it for Spotify and making phone calls.
Yep.
How much of it do you think the security
not a problem there
are?
Not a problem for phone calls, texts. Spotify at some point will become an issue.
Yes, as because it won't get enough. It will be supported.
Because it's streaming, yeah. But no, it's the video,
yeah,
the video chat ones. Because now with WhatsApp, not that you necessarily want to, you can have a video chat with 16 people. And your iPhone 7 goes, ha! No, don't even bother.
No.
Right? So that's the kind of issue, even though you may not be using that.
What about for security, though? If you're saying, I'm not doing any important stuff on here, I'm just really...
Just phone calls. It's fine for that. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. Phone calls, texts, anything involving...
So anybody who does have an iPhone 7, iPhone SE, anything like this, who just presses on an app that you really don't use and it says buy a new phone, you don't need to.
Yeah, exactly. But for everybody else that uses it, things like Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, those are going to start to struggle.
Yes.
That and at some point. So, yeah. So, and again, you don't have to buy a brand new one. You can get a refurbished one. If you want to buy a refurbished one, you got to be careful where you get it.
Yes.
Be really careful about buying it off Facebook Marketplace or something like that. And this is something that came up while we're in Palm Springs. I helped a couple people. They were talking about this, and there was these really good deals from friends. You have to check what's called the IMEI. This is basically the DNA number of the phone, because if it's reported stolen, then it goes onto the IMEI blacklist. And when you go to activate it,
nope. Can't do
also,
that.
If the person who previously owned it vanished and didn't pay their phone bill, now it's kind of hard to do that, but we're going back a couple of years, yeah, and maybe they owe Rogers $300, then Rogers blacklists well. And when you go to activate, it says you need to call this number. And they go, we'll be glad to activate that. You just have to pay the $300 that's outstanding on the account. Mm-hmm. You go, but I just bought it for $100. No, sorry.
Yeah.
So I will add this in the news update at the top of the hour. There's a website where you can go and check the IMEI. So... before you're going to buy you one. The Black Apple here in Victoria, there are numerous other places, good and bad, but the one where I've consistently never had a problem with that is Black Apple Cellular. Mandeep and crew are religious about checking that to make sure that no water damage, you know, things like that, and also making sure that the IMEI is clean on that. So I'll put that one in the show notes in a couple of minutes. What you got up there, Brian?
Oh, I was just checking the AirTag availability while we were looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Simply site keeps wanting to suggest picking up in Kamloops. So even though I keep resetting it to Victoria, so I'm not 100% sure yet. I will get back to you about that. And Visions, okay. I know, has them listed. I'm going to give them a call and I'll get back
awesome.
To you.
Awesome. Okay, we'll let you know. They're great. London Drux, as Ricky says, they've got hundreds on order and they get like 10 and then they go. Oh, speaking of which, you guys were talking about the new AirPods last weekend on the show.
Yeah.
Ricky texted, I used mine. In addition to listening to the podcast, I have the AirPods Pro, the noise cancellation. When I finished listening to the podcast, I just left the noise cancellation on and quiet.
On the airplane.
On the airplane.
It's amazing. The airplane is that perfect kind of background noise that it cuts out so nicely.
Yeah. But Ricky at London Drugs at Tillicum just texted to say that he got 15 of the new iPods, the base model. AirPods in stock. He got them in, and he is now down to 10 10 left. The 5 have already gone. So if you want the new base model AirPods, not going to be using them for traveling. Same price as the previous ones, but significantly longer battery life, even better sound than London Drugs Tillicum store. If you're listening to us live on Saturday, Sunday, hopefully they'll have a couple left. They tend to go really quickly on that one there. Okay.
Yeah, I'm holding out for those, the AirPod Pro 2s. Those, yeah, I've heard just heard great improvements for sound quality.
Yes.
And the noise canceling is just even better.
Twice as good again. And it was pretty impressive. I loved it. I just totally slept through the whole flight. When we come back, you will remember from a couple weeks ago, Todd and family that took the grandkids to Disneyland and got a nice little bonus surprise from TELUS of a $1,205 roaming charge because of a granddaughter that turned off a switch that wasn't supposed to.
Yes.
We'll have an update for you when we continue. Quarter to the hour in the first half of Tech Talk, October 1st and 2nd. Brian, you have an update.
Yes, I just spoke with Simply, and they have Simply Computing, and they have 10-plus copies of the single AirTag packs.
Awesome.
And Visions is sold out of them. So if you want them, head down to Simply while they still have them.
That's on Saturday morning as we're live. Sunday afternoon, I suspect. God, I don't think they're open on Sunday. Anyway, would be irrelevant. You could check on Monday. Okay, follow-up to last week's question about Lucky Mobile, prepaid smartphone service. I was listening to the podcast. Gordon was calling in and thought it was good. Lucky Mobile is Bell's ultra-budget carrier. And yes, it runs on Bell's 4G network.
Yes, but
there's a big but.
This is a big but. All data is throttled to 3G speeds. Remember 3G? Which means websites take forever to load, and you can pretty well forget about streaming video.
Yeah.
I was going to say that their prices are not very good either, but they do have a special on right now. So if you only want to send and receive phone calls and texts, they have a $25 a month plan that gives you unlimited Canada-wide calling and texting, plus 500 megabytes, half a gigabyte, of admittedly slow 3G data. Now, there's another but. The texting is limited to words only. To send and receive emojis or pictures by text, that costs extra. So if your friends try to send you a picture, they will get a notice saying undeliverable unless you want to pay extra. So this is really only advantageous if you want to send and receive phone calls and texts.
Yep.
For me, this was a lesson in those Google snippets. When you search something, Ron and I were like, oh, I can't remember. Let's check. I checked the snippet.
Yep.
Oh, yes, they operate on that band. No, what was cut out of the snippet is that, but they don't actually let you use it.
Yeah, it's all throttled data. So that was that one. So Gordon, I'm not sure if you signed up for your $10 card yet, but for most people. But I know there's some people that haven't really got into the stuff, texting. I mean, we texted back and forth so many pictures. Well, I talked to many of you that texted while I was sitting poolside after doing workshops down there. I was able to help a lot of people and do that. But in some cases, I was sending screenshots back saying, this is the button you push and all that. It was great to do that, but this is not going to work on Lucky Mobile.
So, right.
There we go. One other one is a little quickie that I thought you would like. If you've ever mistakenly hung up on someone on your iPhone by accidentally pressing the button on the right side while holding the phone.
Oh, yeah.
Guilty. Done that. Mm-hmm. iOS 16 includes a way to prevent that from happening again. You have to turn it on. You go to, and there's a picture of it in the show notes, item number 14. Go to Settings, Accessibility, Touch, and turn on the new Prevent Lock to End Call switch.
Hmm.
And regardless of whether or not you turn that switch on with iOS 16, you can now also end a phone call or a FaceTime call with your voice, simply saying, hey, S, hang up, S being Siri.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, that's a neat little one. Small things. If you'd like your iPhone's battery percentage displayed on the screen, iOS 16 also brings a switch to do that. Go to Settings, Battery, and lo and behold, there's a battery percentage switch. The figure will now be shown inside the battery icon in the upper right corner of your screen. Why didn't you do that automatically? Oh, because it's neater.
It does look, since you can always just pull down to get the dashboard there, I don't mind it being hidden. But yeah, that is usually a pet peeve when you can't see the actual percentage.
Oh, speaking of pulling down, you guys had a call last week from a fellow that was understandably frustrated that with the lock screen for security on iOS 16, if you're listening to streaming a radio station,
yes,
the volume control slider doesn't work.
Right.
Now, they might change that. That was for security. But in the meantime, to easily and quickly adjust the volume of something playing, even if your iPhone or iPad is locked, I put a picture of this in the show notes, just pull down from the top right edge of the screen. Top right edge, not top center. That'll open the control center, and the volume slider will be on the far right with the brightness slider right next to it.
No, that's a good point. It's only like one more swipe away.
Yeah. You can also add and remove. You will look at the screenshot I gave you. There's a whole bunch of extra little icons there on mine. You can add and remove buttons by going to settings and tapping on control center. And I put a link into it for Apple's little help on that one. What you got, Gary?
Oh, emails time. This is from Tom. Hello, I have a Toshiba Satellite P755 that was in its time a very nice computer that I still use, albeit less now because of issues described. I find it has been painfully slow to start up, routinely drops my internet connection, is slow to respond to commands, and often freezes up. I also have Norton antivirus on it, and wonder if this is contributing to the problems it seems Norton intervenes or wants to for every aspect of using the computer.
Yep.
I've reached a frustration point with this computer. I'm wondering if it would be better suited just to get another one or rebuild this one. It has an i7 processor, but obviously earlier version. It is an earlier version. That model is a second gen, so it is now 10 years old.
Mm-hmm. But
it's a 17-inch screen, which is nice. It could be made functional again by going to a solid-state drive, and I would have to look at how much RAM it has.
Yeah, but depending on what Tom's doing, if you're not doing a lot of stuff, editing photos, videos, or playing super powerful games, definitely get the Norton out there.
Get the Norton off, yes. I would go to a solid-state drive. With the computer freezing, it may need what's called regreasing of the CPU. It's a thermal paste.
Yeah, we should talk about the system because we solve problems, but this is not so much. So the chip, the brain of the computer, Intel or AMD.
It will have what's called a heat sink on it with a heat pipe to keep it cool. The fan will circulate the air.
Yeah.
There is a thermal paste between the CPU itself and the heat pipe, the heat sink.
It's like toothpaste.
Yes.
And it literally looks like toothpaste.
When it dries out, it can no longer conduct that heat away from the CPU, the central processing unit, which will cause it to overheat. Mm-hmm. And when a CPU overheats, its brain tells it either slow down so I don't overheat or shut right down. Yeah. So when we do a refurbishment of a computer, be it a laptop or a desktop, that's one of the things we always do.
Yeah.
And that'll handle the cooling issues to a degree. If it's been overheating for a long time, it may have already ruined the processor.
Yeah.
Which happens quite often. But yes, if we can, you know, keep it nice and cool, add a solid state drive.
What do you think that would cost to do that for Tom or anybody else that's
really,
in that
really
situation?
Depends on the solid state drive itself. Yeah. You know, if a 250 or a 240 gig solid state drive these days is $39.
Yeah.
$60 to install, another $25 to get at the heatsink and repaste.
There you go.
In total, you're looking at about $175.
Yeah.
And you know. Yeah, I can guarantee you the computer will work better.
Yeah.
What I can't guarantee is how long it'll work.
Yeah.
It is a 10-year-old computer.
But if he brought it in or somebody else brought that in and you saw something like you saw a bulging capacitor or something like that, then you would say, no, don't stop, don't spend the money.
Yeah, we would look at all kinds of things, yes.
And that's true at Gizmos, Priority One, things like that. It's not that expensive, but that's a good way to extend. So 10 years is getting on the threshold where as long as you're not doing anything intensive.
Yeah.
So web searches, you can even watch YouTube and all that. You'll be
with that processor, absolutely.
Yeah, that was good. Okay, quick break. Back with more. Thanks for being part of a Tech Talk for the first weekend of November. Got some really good news. This doesn't affect you, but potentially could down the road. So a couple weeks ago, we were talking with Todd, who had taken the grandkids to Disneyland in California for 10 days and thought they'd done all the right things. But when they got back, they got a $1,205 roaming charge for one of the granddaughters. Now, it popped up and locked her phone at the $100 mark. And so Todd's wife called TELUS, and they said, yes, you've hit the roaming cap on there. And she said, okay. And then they said, did you want us to take that cap off? She said, yes, put us on the daily roaming charge, which is $12 a day for the U.S., and that'll work. They got back and got $1,205. TELUS didn't put them on the daily roaming charge.
Were they able to verify that phone call? Did they have a record of them actually saying, hey, no, we want the $12 plan, not the roaming by the bite.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether they got the name or the number of the employee, but they did make a note of the time for this. So we had mentioned it on the show, and they started a dispute with the CCTS, the Commission for Complaints for Telecom Television Services, saying, hey, you're supposed to notify me, not just my granddaughter, so I'm supposed to get a notification that this has happened. So we would have start seeing the extra charges. We never did that. And you're supposed to put us on the daily charge. Anyway, so Todd emailed to say, my wife heard back from TELUS, and TELUS has waived the extra roaming charges and is charging us for the $12 a day after my wife talked to them on the 15th. Taking the grandkids on this trip has definitely been a learning experience, as our phones have become such a part of our life, and even more so for kids and teenagers. The younger boys were not allowed to use their phones unless they were in airplane mode, but that is easier said than done, as it is very easy for them to open quote, accidentally close quote, turn off airplane mode. I really like the idea of one of your guests had about hot spotting from another phone. Yeah, Ron Fraser was the one that suggested that.
Yeah.
He said, if you're in that situation, one of you can pay the $12 a day, and then as long as you're physically in the same location, the others can hot spot off that and do their YouTube and their Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff. That's a really great suggestion.
Yeah, so, that totally makes sense. I mean, they're going to be together when they're on the trip, and if they're in the hotel alone for a while, they've got the Wi-Fi there. So
yeah, and if mom and two of the grandkids are getting tired and want to go back to the hotel, then yes, they can use Wi-Fi when they get there. But if something goes wrong and they get split up and can't find each other, then you could reluctantly turn off airplane mode.
Yeah.
And you got $12 for the rest of the day. And
oh, sure. I was figuring both parents would just do it, and then who would
Yeah, but
always.
You could even do it just with one if you wanted to. Yeah, Hotspot yeah. works on up to five devices. You'll find that under settings, cellular, personal hotspot. And then you just pick a password. They give you a gibberish password
oh boy,
by default. Just change it to something simple. That's not a super secure one. That's just prevent the person next to you at the ferry from using your data. That's a good one there. Okay, lots more coming up in our second half. We'll go through some of the latest scams. Also, some new features there. We had new events. And if you're a fan of Microsoft Flight Simulator, Gary, Victoria International Airport is now featured. Adobe's released Photoshop Elements and Premiere Elements 2023. Pizza Hut has launched its first ever pizza delivery robots. And a bipedal robot built by researchers at OSU has set a Guinness World Record. That and much more when we continue on Tech Talk for our second half. Stay with us.
Tech Talk with Alan Perry on CFAX 1070.
It's the second half of our first show of October of 2022. Thanks for being a part. If you missed the first half, it'll be available for you as a podcast by sometime late in the noon hour of Saturday. Saturday, October 1st, we are live. Sunday afternoon is a rebroadcast.
As a local retailer,
yes.
I would like to say just a few words. Welcome to the Golden Quarter. This is where we, as local people, we really ask that you as the consumers, you as the listeners, it's time to shop local. This is the quarter where most businesses...
Make or break.
Make or break, exactly.
You don't want break.
No, we don't want break.
But that voice is that of none other than...
Gary Beyer.
Owner of Tesseract Computers. And murmuring in the background.
I'm Brian Pavlicic, your Tech Talk producer.
Brian and Ron filled in for me last week while I was in Palm Springs, discovering what 42 degrees and a heat warning is like.
Thank God
for misters. Glad to be back. Thank you guys for filling in. Lots of stuff to talk about here. A couple of scams to warn you about as well, but some new features as well. And I'm going to try and answer a whole bunch of your problems. So... let's see. Oh, okay. So we were talking about the fact that even though ArriveCan is no longer needed, you can use it for clearing customs. And somebody texted in, I'm getting conflicting advice. Read the security code. You said it's essential to know it. I understood another source said to ignore it. Okay. So here's what that means. If you're using the ArriveCan app to clear customs, you will have to sign into the ArriveCan app if you've been away more than 10 days. It will log you out for security. Which is frankly annoying. I'm a big fan of security, but this is the app that's going to let you get through customs.
Yeah.
You just have to tell them whether you brought back more than $10,000 and have you been to a farm.
It's the security that lets you through security.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Very good. Bonus points for Gary.
Thank you.
So, yes, please make sure that you do know your ArriveCan password. password, especially if you're going away for more than 10 days, because they will log you out, and you have to put the password back in, otherwise submit. If for some reason that doesn't work, you now have a backup. You can use the eDeclaration app. That app is also known as CanBorder. The reason for the double name is because CanBorder does not translate into French. So eDeclaration is the French one. It's one of those words that doesn't translate well. So that's what I asked. I said, why do you have two names for this app? We're bilingual, so there we go. Ted has emailed in a really good question to which I do not know the answer. Can you tell me if home phone will be available once Shaw is taken over by Rogers? So we used to call it a landline, but it's no longer a copper wire coming in. It's now...
It's still voice. It's voice over IP.
Yeah, VoIP. Yeah. In other words, the internet. Your voice of the phone call gets translated into ones and zeros and sent down the pipe and turned into something that the person on the other end hears and vice versa. That's a really good question. Nobody has answered that. When Rogers takes over Shaw, whatever time that little soap opera plays itself out, sometime later this year, possibly early next year, they've never said anything about that because Rogers inherits... because that home phone is a service that is offered through the internet side of Shaw.
Yep.
It's not offered through the mobility side. I honestly don't know. I'm going to reach out to people I know at Shaw and see if anybody, if they've been told anything about this.
Yeah. I mean, Rogers obviously offers you VoIP phones as well, so I'm...
But I don't want to be wrong about this because this is a key decision for people.
I am on the Rogers site right now.
Yep.
And they do say they have what's called wireless home phone. However, they're only showing...
Yeah, see, it's wireless. It's wireless home phone that they offer.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, stay tuned. Sounds good. This is why we're fully happy to admit when we don't know these things here. We were talking last hour, if you're going to buy a used smartphone, how to find out if it's been stolen or blacklisted by a carrier. I promised I would, and I did remember, because I wrote myself a note. Item number 29 in the show notes has the link to find the IMEI code you will need. You go to Settings, General, About, and scroll down. On an Android phone, you tap the phone app icon, and then as though you're going to, you go to the keypad and you dial *#06#. You don't need to write that down. It's okay. It's in the show notes. Item number 29, along with the link that takes you to a website, which is devicecheck.ca/check-status-device-canada. So that's why it's in the show notes. And you tap in your IMEI number if you want to do it just for sake of argument, just so you'll see what the status of yours is. I mean, you should not. I've only had one person who did come up with one that was marked as having been stolen.
Mm-hmm.
But they had then reported it found, so...
Yeah, originally it wasn't even that they were used back when it was still BC Tel Mobility.
Oh, wow.
They actually used it only for blacklisting.
Yeah.
It was blacklisted, the networks got together and said no.
Yep. So there's that one there. Okay, a couple scams I wanted to mention. Now, we've sort of come up with an overarching scam here. So if you get an email or a text about a problem with an account or service, or about a package that can't be delivered, or a receipt for something you didn't order, or about a refund owed to you, or about a prize you've won, assume it's a scam, especially if it urges you to do something right away. That's sort of the starting point. But I did put a couple that came in this week that I thought were creative. And one is fake emails claiming to be an auto renewal notice for Amazon Prime Video. Like the one in the screenshot below sent in by Werner and Judy. And if you look at the address that it says it's from, it says it's from E-Prime, AMA, and a bunch of numbers. But when you actually click on that address, it's vasic6dm5arnt@outlook.de. .de? You better know this one.
Uh-oh. Big bad Germany.
Yes, Deutschland, okay. Now, that's Outlook.de. That's a Microsoft account. Here would be Outlook.com. Yeah. So I reported that to Microsoft. It's being shut down. But last night, I got the identical question about an identical email coming from an email account in .be, Belgium. So just because they've shut down this address. And then it basically says, this is a receipt for $65. The subscription period will renew automatically unless you turn it off. no later than 24 hours before the end of the current period, which is 24 hours after they send the email, they say. So see, they're trying to throw you off your game. You're going, crap, $65? Ah! And then you click on the link to cancel and refund Prime without realizing that that's taking you to axlogios.sofrologie.fr. Brian, geography.fr.
France.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm on a roll.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, and if you click on that, it bounces around and it takes you to a website which actually gets flagged by Malwarebytes Premium and by Microsoft Edge, saying this is a dangerous site, this is a phishing site.
Yep.
Other browsers won't flag that. It'll take you there, and I put a picture in the show notes. Item number one, there's a picture of the fake Amazon website, and the address is 51-142-238 CP Rapid, which goes to Hungary. So three different countries involved in this scam, not the countries, but people in three different countries. The scammers are hoping you won't notice the non-Amazon web address and hope you'll give them your Amazon account email and password so they can make purchases on your account.
Yep.
And then they'll also go to other websites and see if you use that same email and password there. Never click on links and emails, text like this.
Always. Get Malwarebytes.
Yes, Malwarebytes Premium is so great at doing this. This is a little bonus feature.
Yep.
Aside from keeping bad stuff out of your computer, it keeps you from going to bad places.
Yes.
And it pops up. I love that. Also, watch out for scam texts that claim to be an important message from your bank. The one below was actually spotted by my wife, Suzanne. It says, RBC, important message from RBC Royal. Please visit website. And at first glance, it looked like rbcroyalbankonline.com. No, it's actually rbcroyalbkonline.com.
Yep.
They did not make a partnership with Burger King. And if you do click on it, it takes you a page that says, your account are currently suspended. So your first clue is...
grammar.
But the next line in bigger letters says, your account has been suspended. And this was creative. I give the scammer smart. It says, we have detected unusual activity on your account starting with 4519, blah, 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 the rest are asterisks. Every account at RBC starts with 4519. So,
yep.
Creative little weasels. Anyway, it's a scam.
So, let's get to something that I just watched it. You posted it in number 28, I believe it is. Cassie.
Oh, yes.
A bipedal robot built by researchers at Oregon State University has set a Guinness World Record by clocking a blistering 24.73 seconds in the 100-meter dash. Not quite steroid Ben Johnson.
Right.
But pretty darn quick for a robot.
9.83. Yeah. Particularly for a robot built by researchers at a university.
Yeah. I just watched the video.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
This is not spot the robot dog quality.
Right. Which is like military grade.
Yeah. But this is a bipedal one. So it looks like sort of human-ish.
Sort of. It's, you know, there was a movie with Charlie Sheen way back when called Contact. Not First Contact. Maybe it was First Contact. Where the aliens actually ran, like this thing's built on its legs, where the kneecap was on the wrong backside.
Yeah, this was a really big deal for these researchers. I put the video, it's linked in, as Gary said, item 28. It started from a standing position, sprinted, then returned to its starting position,
and
all without falling.
You can actually see in certain the way it's running, where it's trying to keep its balance.
Yeah.
This is pretty amazing.
Cool. While we're talking about robots, this one, you can just go across the pond if you're listening to us in Vancouver. Pizza Hut has launched its first ever pizza delivery robots, two of them delivering pizzas which are kept warm in a heated compartment to people within a 2-kilometer radius of the Pizza Hut on Robson Street.
And it's probably faster than that other robot.
Yeah, and they say they're not trying to get rid of drivers or anything like that. They're just really desperate for staff. And through the traffic, this works really well. It just trundles along this, like the one that you and Ron were talking about, Brian, last week for the London Drugs one.
Yes, yeah.
Same thing, except this one's got a heating unit in it.
Well, when I first saw this, I was saying to Brian, I said, I'm just going to get a bigger drone to pick up that walking pizza oven and take it home.
So the way it works is you get a text message that lets you know that your food has arrived, and you walk outside, and the text includes a PIN code. There's no pin pad on the robot. You cannot get in, so nobody's stealing your pizza.
Good.
But when you go to the Pizza Hut app and type in the pin code, when you say, unlock my pizza, and you type in your pin code, the little door opens and you take out your warm pizza and it heads off to the shop.
Part of me wants to go to Vancouver just to do this.
Just
I can't wait to try this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I put pictures of it in there. It's all in there. Item number 27 in the show notes. Lots of fun stuff. Okay, back to texts and emails. Hi, Alan. You're making my dad annoying and paranoid. Please talk about positive computer things. You're scaring him.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to.
No, it's just that while your dad might be getting annoyed and scared, just because we talk about these security issues, that may save him losing his entire bank account, his financial life, his identity.
Yeah.
These are things we have to talk about. Yes, computers are wonderful and they can do amazing things, including the fact that, yeah, I'm going to go home later and I'm going to watch movies that I couldn't watch before.
Yeah, we could watch a live stream, you know, from around the world and now from outer space. You can sit there and watch the cameras from the International Space Station beaming down at us. You can watch that live. So
yes,
it's really cool.
So
but yeah, there's some...
Sadly, there is... If we don't talk about these security issues, people are getting scammed and they're losing their entire savings.
Not a day has gone by in the last few years that I have not received one call or text or email from somebody that's been partway down the rabbit hole.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Or has been scammed, and now how do I get back my money?
And some of these people have lost a lot of money.
Yeah, and so that's why we're trying to basically give you that overarching, Brian, that we started a few weeks ago. We just got so tired of giving example after example. So I still put the creative new ones in there.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Cassie, but, Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
These are good things.
But the overriding thing is, if you get an email or text warning you or telling you, it's a scam.
Yes.
Okay? That's it. So if you just go on that for your dad, tell him, Dad, if you get one of these...
It's a scam.
It's a scam. Mm-hmm. If you want, call me. I don't mean me, but, you know, whoever that person was writing the text, call you, and if they're double-checked. But if they just go from that part, then they can go play.
Yeah, I think if you manage your password securely... And you don't respond to, you know, emails that are prompting you to put in your password or fix your account and pop-ups online, and then run like a browser guard for Malwarebytes, you're pretty safe. Like even if you click on a bad link, Malwarebytes has got you. And as long as you're managing your password safely, just you know, go and enjoy it.
Yes. Yeah. So, but sorry, it's just that really it causes such stress and anguish and tears for people. And so if we spend a little extra time on our security soapbox, I get so many positive calls and I write to people to say, oh, I didn't even call you to let you know that I just spotted that scam, hit delete. So that makes me really day. By the way, we were talking about all the new features in iOS 16. I apologize to those of you with Android phones, but 16 is a really big deal in terms of things we've always wanted it to do. One of the other ones, it includes the ability to have emails which you've composed on an iPhone to be sent later at a specific time or day.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
so that's good.
If you're the boss and want to send out the emails, whether it's specials or we're going to be closed or whatever, or if you're just... The only catch is, I read through the devils in the details, your device needs to be connected to the internet at the time you want it sent.
Yes.
So if you tell it to send it on Thursday at 4 p.m.
You have to be online.
Yeah, if you're on the plane to Tahiti, that's not going to go.
I guess that's better than the alternative, which I thought was like, okay, well, it goes and it sits on the server and waits. But then you're not connected to the internet and say you're like, oh, no, I want to stop. Like, I like that the control remains on the phone. So it's a caveat, but I think it makes sense.
Yeah, and once iPad OS 16 comes out later this month, you'll be able to do the same thing on your iPad.
Yep.
Excellent.
But yeah, so that's the details on how to do that. It's really simple. Item number 16 in the show notes. Another email there, Gary. Oh, by the way, she'd mentioned we are live on Saturday morning. Love to have you call us if we've got any questions, if we can de-stress you or save something being thrown through the window because it was working yesterday and now isn't. That's Jenny's printer. Going to go deal with that one later on today. 250-386-1161 on a home phone, star 1070 on a mobile phone, texts to 107010 anywhere in Canada, 107010, doesn't work in the U.S., sorry, and include your first name somewhere in the text if you do. And emails go to techtalk, T-E-C-H-T-A-L-K, at cfax1070.com. I am trying to multitask and check all the screens here. Hi, guys. What is the cheapest option for internet security on a laptop for a university student?
Malwarebytes.
Premium.
Yep.
If you only have one device, you can stop in at Priority One or at Tesseract or Gizmos, and they will sell you a single license for less. The ones you buy in stores are $55. They're good for three devices. But if you literally just have one.
You have one device.
Yeah, or if you have two and one of them is an iPhone or an iPad, you don't need that, can't get it. So it's only for Android, Windows, and Mac. So there you go. What do you sell it for, Tesseract single license?
$39.
There you go. Okay.
And we do the install. We do everything for you.
Yep. There you go. Good one there. Do we need to take a break, Brian? Okay, we're overdue for a break. Sorry. Pat will be up next on the phones when we come back. Welcome back to Tech Talk, 25 after the hour. And who are we going to next, Brian?
Brenda's online, too.
Okay. Hi, Brenda.
Welcome. Hi, how are
you?
Welcome
to the program. How can we help?
Well, yesterday I was playing around on my phone, and something came up that looked like it was from Google or Shaw. I can't remember now.
Yep.
And, click this button. You've won a prize. I think it was Shaw.
Okay. And what type of phone are you on?
A BlackBerry Lite.
Oh.
Yep.
Interesting. Okay, I see.
And it says you have malware on your phone and you have 8 minutes to do something.
Yep. Scam. So what did you do? This is the key question.
Yeah.
Sorry?
What did I do?
Yeah, what did you do when that pop-up appeared on the screen?
I exited and went to look for something to clean the device, but I haven't got anything yet.
Okay, so please, because depending on how you exited, you may have thought you were exiting, and if you tapped anywhere on the pop-up itself, then you gave it permission to install. So
okay.
You want to go to the Play Store. Ooh,
yeah.
BlackBerry Lite, this may not be possible, but try going to the Play Store icon.
Right.
And search for Malware Bytes. You don't need to get the premium. You can just get the free version and give it all the permissions it asks for. You may not be able to get it on BlackBerry Lite because it's not supported anymore.
I'm writing this down because I won't remember.
No, it's okay.
Hang on a second.
Play Store is an orange, brown, green triangle.
And I'm looking
for Malware Bytes. All one word, Malware, B-Y-T-E-S.
Malware.
B-Y-T-E-S.
B-Y-T-E-S.
Yeah.
It says Malware Bytes Android Free.
Yep, that's the one.
Yep.
Click that.
And then follow to download.
Install.
Yeah, install. Yep. And then it's going to ask for a bunch of permissions to look under the hood in various places, Gary.
Okay.
Not just the usual suspects, because the bad guys hide stuff in other...
Anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll just follow their instructions?
Yeah. And if you want, give us a call back and let us know whether it finds anything. Yeah.
All right, sounds good, guys.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care. Yeah, that's a really good lesson, though, for when you get a pop-up on any device... And you go, wait, don't touch it. Like with a mouse on a computer or with your finger, you want to get rid of it because many cases, especially on Mac and on Windows, the entire pop-up is a giant install button. And when you click the cancel button or the X or the red dot.
You're giving it permission to install.
Yeah.
Yes, it doesn't matter where you click. It looks like they're separate buttons, but the whole thing is going to do one thing.
So command force quit on a Mac to do that. Command Apple logo force quit, and on an iPhone, on a Windows computer, control shift together
escape.
With one hand, they're right above each other,
and then
with the
escape.
Other hand escape. The task manager will open up,
now,
a little pop-up.
Interestingly enough, I had a customer call in on Thursday where control shift escape did not work.
Hmm.
We actually had to go through the control alt delete and get to task manager.
Whoa.
It did not work.
So somebody's written some really sophisticated weasel words. Okay. Hmm. That's a good one. But then normally that's it. Control shift. And then click on, in the task manager pop-up, click on the name of the pop-up.
That's right.
Whatever it says it is.
Even if it's just, it might not even say that it is anything. It'll just say that your browser is running.
Yeah.
Highlight browser.
And then end task.
End task, which is on the bottom right-hand side.
And it vanishes. It's a really good feeling.
Now, on a PC, when you restart that browser, on the top right-hand side, it may ask you, restore. No.
Yeah.
Because it'll just restore you to that page.
Yeah. No, go to startup tabs. There we go. Awesome. Okay. Pat's up next, and then we've got a bunch more texts here, some of which I do not know the answer, so I'm going to go hunt during the break. Back after this.
Tech Talk with Alan Perry on CFAX 1070.
We are having the show go by quickly as we begin the month of October. Alan and Gary Beyer from Tesseract and Brian Pavlicek, and Pat is on the phone line. Let's see if we can help there. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
How can we help?
I can receive texts and send texts on my iPhone, but it doesn't show up on my iPad.
Okay.
And vice versa.
Okay, so the way to check that, and anybody else that wants to do this as well, it's worth checking this, not just Pat who's having a problem, but even if you're not, to check this. So on your iPhone, go into Settings, Pat, and scroll all the way down to Messages. It's the middle of three greenies, Phone, Messages, and FaceTime.
Okay.
So Settings, Messages.
I'm just getting the
settings. Take your time. Yeah, and it's always good to do this, Brian, on the iPhone first, because it's the parent, if you will, when right. It comes to the messaging service.
Sure, it's the one that's connected and can get SMS.
Yes, right. The iPad is a child, if you will, if you think of it that way.
I'm in settings.
Okay, go down to messages. It's down about 25 from the top. Oh, it's in the fifth category, the category that starts with passwords. You'll find three green ones in a row. Phone, messages, FaceTime.
I usually go the iCloud route. If you go iCloud and then it's in the list of things to sync with iCloud?
Not anymore. They changed that under iOS 16. Gotcha.
Phone, messages, and FaceTime?
That's right. You want messages.
Okay. Right.
Now, the second category is going to have iMessage, a green switch turned on. Yes?
iMessage.
Green switch is turned on.
Send and receive?
Yeah, but is the green iMessage switch, is it green?
Yes, it is.
Okay, now tap send and receive. And there's going to be two categories. You can receive messages to and reply from, and that's going to have your phone number and presumably some email addresses?
It only has my iPhone telephone number.
Okay, no email address is listed below that. Okay, now, start new conversations from should also have a check mark next to your phone number.
Cool. I don't have to start.
Oh, because you don't have your Apple ID attached there. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Not a problem. Okay, so can you do the same thing on your iPad now, settings, messages? I'm guessing that that's the problem, Brian, is Apple ID is not associated with the iPhone. It's just got his phone
number. Yes, that's the first thing, is making sure your Apple ID is signed into both, and then you have iMessage turned on both, but there are I've run into plenty of cases where that keeps breaking and you have to re-sign in on both devices.
Yes. Yeah, so Pat, I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to get checked. We'll come back and check during the break, and if not, then we'll talk after the show. That's a fairly easy fix. But for everybody else, that's what you want to do. You go to the phone, you check settings, messages, you make sure that the start new conversation switch is on your iPhone number. That way, when you go to your iPad and sign in with your Apple ID, it'll give you the same option, and then it will mimic, and that will allow your iPad to not only send and receive to people with iPhones and iPads, but also to Android phones. It will mimic the phone number and make it go through. They will be green instead of blue.
So if under the under the iMessage screen, you can receive iMessage and reply from tab, mm-hmm. if you only have your phone number selected, it won't show you the other option because you're obviously sending from that one. So if you're looking for that, that might be why you're not seeing it.
There we go. And then we would activate that and add it. Good one. Okay. Bruce, what is the status of the interconnect for 911 calls for Eastern Canada? Have they resolved this yet, or are people still not able to call 911 on the East Coast due to the hurricane? The vast majority of that system is up and running. And if you are on a plan that does not include Canadian calling, most carriers are waive long distance charges for that. Try and text if you can. Yeah, that would work better if you can do that. Because that's less strain on the system because they have a lot of stuff to rebuild. Yeah, not as bad as Florida, but if you're in it, that's not bad. Okay, my wife has a friend going down to the southern tip of Mexico on the Pacific Coast side for 4 months. Brian, over to you. What is the best way to stay internet connected for data and phone calls? Get a Mexico SIM?
Yes. Yeah, they, I remember, again, it was a few years ago now that I was down there, but it was super affordable, and stuff like Facebook and Instagram were all included. It didn't go against your data cap.
Yep.
Nice.
Now, ideally, you would use it as an eSIM, so you could still keep your Canadian number and not be cut off. You just wouldn't use it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on Shaw or Freedom Mobile, they have a roaming package that includes Mexico. So then you would just keep your current number, and you wouldn't need to do that. 4 months. So it really depends on your carrier to do that one there, but that would be the idea. An eSIM allows you to add a second phone number, so then you'll get a P for primary and an S for secondary, and you can do that, and it's really, really affordable there. Another text here. If I have Malwarebytes Premium on another device, mom's computer, can I add a device? Yes, if you bought it in a store or bought it online, it's good for three devices. And the year starts
when you install it on the first device.
Yeah, any combination of Windows, yeah. Mac, and Android.
So retailers can get you a three device, five device, and 10 device.
Yeah, the vast majority are all threes. Yeah. You have to really ask. Normally, the five and tens are hard to find.
Mm.
Okay, I want to do one quick homework video, Brian. I'm not sure if you have a chance to cue this
up. I can't, actually.
You can't do that.
Ooh.
No, my board's been reconfigured so that I don't have a volume slider. You could play it off yours.
Okay, I will do that then. Yep. We will come back when we do that. And also when we come back, we'll tell you about Victoria International Airport has just been added to Microsoft Flight Simulator. And we also had one event last week for Amazon unveiling new products. Google has got theirs coming up this Thursday. 17 before the end of the show on Tech Talk for October 1st and 2nd. A couple homework videos in there. Don't work on radio for the most part, but if you're a Billie Eilish fan, you can go behind the scenes as Billie got ready for her Apple Music Live concert at the O2 Arena in London, item number 40. They're also going to post the entire concert for those that didn't watch it live. She says she really doesn't want to be known for her music. She wants to be known for her live performances, and so that's cool. We were talking about the ArriveCan app being used for customs clearance.
Mm-hmm.
There's a short how-to video.
Oh, perfect.
Showing how easy it is. NAS has just uploaded superb archive footage. You're going to love this, Gary. California in the 1940s. We had stuff from the 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
He's now found quality footage from the 1940s. He used artificial intelligence to restore, stabilize, and colorize it. Starts off in, I think, Newport Beach. It's really cool. Starts outside the Bank of America building. Really awesome. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
It's like time traveling.
It really is, but it's no more being annoyed by the jerky black and white jittery footage.
Yep.
It's all smooth, and really hard to believe that that's not, you know, shot on a color camera.
Well, yeah, it's hard to believe that that wasn't from a car show.
Yeah. There you go.
Yep.
And the one that I will play here a little bit, I'm not even tell you who it is, but I think you will recognize the sound. Back to the Future, except it's being performed a cappella by Matriarch, Korean a cappella group that were on America's Got Talent.
They're so tight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not just the sound, it's actually watching their mouths and seeing how they're actually making those sounds. It's really cool. There we go. That's all in the show notes. So thank you, everyone that contributed, though. I would have done more. I also put some pictures down there of Joshua Tree and the Oasis we were talking about. And scroll to the bottom for your sign of the week if you boil a funny bone. No, I'm not going to say anymore. Thank you for everybody that sends those signs in there. Okay, emails.
Yeah, we have one here from Connie. Connie's been recommended by a friend in Victoria. Here's the problem. I can't seem to find support. I've received 4 or 5 messages from contacts in my email. I use a Shaw account that is forwarded to my Gmail account and also a Gmail account, saying they have received odd emails from me. My name is on the email, but it is not my email address they're coming from. I've changed my password in Gmail twice and tell my contacts to delete forever and not respond to open emails. Thank you. Here's an example. Hey, Connie, over the past 2 weeks, I've gotten a couple of emails claimed to be from you that actually come from this address.
Yes.
The address seems to be flor.benjamnan@ug.edu.ec.
Okay. So, what's happened is you are in the contact list of somebody's Android phone. And they tapped on one of those buttons that we're saying not to tap on to make something go away.
Mm-hmm.
And they stole your contact list.
Yep.
And now a sweatshop overseas, one by one, is sending an email posing as you.
That's
so
right.
Nothing to do with your Gmail account.
Nope.
Nothing to do with your phone. Nothing. You didn't need to change your password. They are just posing as you. Because most people look at their emails on their mobile device where the email address is not visible.
Right.
Just the name. And it says, yeah. And they go, oh, that's you.
Well,
and then they
respond
back.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then you'll get the most common one is the I'm in hospital. Can you buy me gift cards? But there's a myriad of other scams. Right. So if an email, that's why we always get you to put your signature on your phone, tablet, computer that has your name and your email address. And so the scammers don't know you do that. And so then when they create a fake email address and poses you, your friends go,
where's the...
Yeah, that's not her. That's the. It's sort of like a warning sign to do that. So please, before you, if you ever get an email from anybody that looks, that's not the way they normally would write or speak, and they tend to be generic. Here's something you'll be interested in.
Yeah. Look, I think this is a picture of you.
Yes. Yeah, I just spotted this this naked picture of you on Facebook. Did you post this? One's like, again, throwing you off your game, right?
Yes.
And so, so there's nothing really you can do about that except warn your friends that somebody's out there.
Just delete them.
Yeah, posing as you. And in this case, .edu, which is, means that's a college or a university, .ec.
I'm going to guess Ecuador.
.edu, I'm just going to EC, web domain, see where that one is. DDU dot EC is top double domain for Ecuador. Okay, give Gary a prize. Good one.
I'll take the pizza crackers.
Oh, we have a box of stuff for snacks from not from Turkey. We are snarking on in between.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, question earlier from Ted. Thank you to Tofi and Cassandra for both getting back to us on this one here. Ted said, would home phone service be available once Shaw is taken over by Rogers? And I said, I honestly don't know the answer to that one there. And Tofi says, I will imagine they will take all customers and their services for at least a 2-year transition period. And again, Tofi's saying, I imagine, because nothing
Nobody
official
knows.
Has been said. That will be there will be this big barf of details once the deal is finalized. The devil is in the details, and the devil's going to be very busy on this one when it finally gets around to that.
Right.
All these questions. I have a list of questions, and there's one. So again, Tofi's saying, they imagine it would be a 2-year transition period. In 2 years, home phone service really won't be a thing. It's we're the last pocket here. Out on the left coast, it's really not anywhere else. If you talk to people, it's down to very small numbers there. Gary, question for you. What are your weekday store hours? I'm a bus driver, and my laptop bought through your store requires a new Malwarebytes subscription. That's Trent.
Well, Trent, you can actually pop in anytime, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. If it's an emergency, you can actually just give us a call, and Jesse can give you a new Malwarebytes key, and then just come and pay me whenever you can.
There you go. Awesome. There you go. Okay. Da, 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 da.
Good news. I want good news heading into October. As everybody who loves baseball knows, it's playoffs time. And Blue Jays are in.
They are?
They are.
Let's see what happens. You go away for a week?
Okay. Yeah, I know. So that's the good news for October.
Alan, does Rogers have VoIP home phone service? I'm not really, we're not really clear on
When looking at their website, it does not look like they do.
Because
when you click on home phone,
it
brings up a list of cellular phones again. It redirects you right back to those.
Yeah. So I'm guessing this is something they would have to inherit for Shaw. It's not something that they would ever want to set up because that is heading towards a museum. So good question. I will reach out to Rogers PR and just say, hey, and see if I get an answer.
Yeah, let me know too.
Okay, quick break. Your final chance to get through. We always leave people on the end of the lines here. So if you want to get through in our final segment, 250-386-1161 on a home phone, star 1070 on a mobile phone, or by text to 1070-10. Final few minutes on Tech Talk. If you have Microsoft Flight Simulator, happy to report that Victoria International Airport is one of five new Canadian airports which you can now fly into and out of as part of World Update XI, Roman numerals for 11. It's an all-Canadian update this time, released this week.
That's kind of cool. So I'm going to go back. Well, I won't go back to the store today. We're closed weekends on Monday. I'm going to download that update. Sad news is, remember about 2.5-3 years ago, we talked about it, and it would work on a Core i5 with a 2-gig video card?
Yes.
No more. Microsoft Flight Sim doesn't work on those specs anymore. If you haven't got a good 4-gig video card minimum,
yep,
it's just not going to fly.
Okay. If you had one that stopped working then because of this, then what would it cost to get a 4-gig video card put in somebody's computer?
Well, sadly, the 4-gig video cards that are available all require bigger power supplies these days. Mm-hmm. And the Lenovos we had 2-3 years ago, yeah, that we used this, those power supplies won't handle it. So sadly, you're looking at buying a different computer if you want to fly the Flight Sim today.
Okay. So good one to know. So what could be upgraded?
RAM can be upgraded, but that's not going to do it. It needs that 4-gig video card minimum. Yeah.
Okay. There we go. Sorry. While we're talking about things like that, NASA has released images taken by the Webb and Hubble Space Telescopes. They work together simultaneously for the first time ever to capture images of the DART space probe slamming into the asteroid Dimorphos on Monday.
Cool.
That was cool.
Yeah, and they've now revealed that the collision was much bigger than expected.
Yes.
Now, there was a little drone, if you will.
They dropped it a whole bunch of miles away from the actual DART.
Yeah.
Dropped it so it could keep taking video even after the cameras on DART slammed into.
Yeah. So we're hoping to get that stuff later this week. And while we're talking about space, Hurricane Ian has forced NASA to delay the first launch of its massive Artemis 1 moon rocket to mid-November. Yeah. So, don't have a specific date there. Amazon this week unveiled a raft of new and updated products, including the Kindle Scribe e-reader, which promises a compelling alternative for note-taking, the new Halo Rise sleep tracking clock, which will give you slumber metrics, Brian, without having to wear a smartwatch.
Okay. I don't trust Amazon with those metrics. They're probably reading my dreams.
Oh.
That would be fun.
The updated, I know people like you.
Updated Echo Smart speakers can now act as Wi-Fi extenders. That's a smart extension.
Oh, yeah.
And there are new Ring and Blink security cameras, Fire TVs, accessories, and more. A CNET rundown of all the new stuff is item 20 in the show notes. Google has announced its fall product launch will be streamed live at 7 a.m. our time this coming Thursday. Expecting to see the Pixel 7 and Pixel 7 Pro smartphones, plus the Pixel Watch. Might even learn more about Google's rumored Pixel tablet. We'll see. That's coming up this coming week. Google, by the way, is shutting down its Stadia game streaming platform and refunding all purchases. It just didn't catch on. So one more gone. Adobe has released Adobe Photoshop Elements 2023 photo editing software, and with it, Premiere Elements 2023 video editing software. They both use AI to add new abilities to quickly get pro-quality results. There's a link. This is the one where you buy it. You don't rent it. You buy it. It's yours. Comes out every year. So item number 24, if you're into photography or video editing, take a look at the things that you won't believe that you can do by going click, click. It's really cool. The stuff before was amazing. There you go. CRTC has failed to deliver on its promise to render a decision. Brian, you and Ron were talking about this by the end of September.
Yes.
On the application to add a 1.5% surcharge in bills paid by credit card. They said they'd have a decision within 45 days. This is day 45. They don't work on weekends. So presumably in the next couple of days, I think they're going to say yes.
Weasels. They're going to say it's okay?
I think so.
The surcharge?
Hey. Telus points out that other utilities such as Fortis already levy a similar surcharge, so it says it's not like we're breaking ground here.
Fortis doesn't fall under CRTC.
No, but they're saying other utilities. So, yeah. I know, maybe.
Nothing like fueling a bit of inflation.
Thanks for coming in on the weekend and joining us, Gary.
Thank you. It's been a good one.
Yeah, it's been great. Gail, you stay on the phone lines. We'll help you off the air so we're not rushing against the clock. I am going to leave you with... There you go, Maitri doing Back to the Future on the show notes. Thanks for joining us, good to be back with you. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Get down and check out the big toy show at Perks Arena, and we'll talk to you next weekend. Brian, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And so it goes.